Blog Talk Radio.
The New Year, everybody, and we're kicking off the year with an awesome live broadcast today. It's our show number 649 on this Tuesday morning, January 4th, 2022. It's a look back in the first hour at some highlights from 2021 with Mary Reed Johnson, and also a clip from our New Year's Eve nighttime celebration. Then it's off to Harlem for the Harlem Will Report live with the latest happenings at about 7:30 this morning. 8 o'clock, meet astrologer Magi Helena. She'll be with us, and it is some exciting things she'll be sharing. And if it's Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern Time, it's time for Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins. Stay tuned.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Bye.
women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to a very, very special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is our annual year-end review for 2021 in this episode, and it is my great honor to bring to the line my co-host for the episode. You guys know her. She is a radio personality in her own right, and doing so many incredible things out there. She was also an announcer right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, let's give a warm welcome of appreciation to the one and only Miss Mary Reed Johnson. Good morning, and
Carrie.
Welcome. Yes, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, listen,
Do we really need to look back? Because remember... When Lotta White looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt.
Well, let me tell you, Mary Reed Johnson, we have a lot. Yes, we're going to get into quite a bit. This is a show. This is a true radio show that we're going to really look back. We're going to, some of it, you know, it's kind of like yanking off a Band-Aid of sorts. You know, You got it done. It may be a little bit of, momentary, as they say, discomfort in the medical world, but you're going to have a long lasting impact once you open up and expose that to the air again and just embracing what's next. And I have to say,
I trust you to help us heal. So absolutely. I'm on.
Thank you. Well, I think we are both going to be doing that today, Mary Reed Johnson. So it's nice to have you back. First of all, we're going to get into a lot of what happened in 2021. But if you guys can remember, our year really kind of started a little bit earlier than that. And mostly, of course, you can't, you know, the elephant in the room obviously is the pandemic. So it kind of, you know, I thought when we were looking at producing this special broadcast for you guys, we were looking at how did we want to frame this? Do you want to talk about the pandemic early on in the broadcast, or do you want to talk about it a little later? However, we came to the conclusion that, you know, the pandemic really, it's called the pandemic for a reason. It's literally across everything, and it really set the foundation for, I mean, you can't escape it. It truly is the elephant in the room, and you have to address it.
It absolutely shaped us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's start there, Mary. And as you guys out there know, we've all lived through this. It did not start in 2020. I'm sorry, it didn't start in 2021. It probably didn't even start in 2020, but that's another story. So, Mary, let's look back for a moment, and let's take a look. When January of 2021, we were already reeling from dealing with the pandemic. There was a whole lot of talk. If I recall correctly, the folks were kind of – and let me, before we even get deep into this discussion – let's let folks know that what they can also expect in today's broadcast. It's not just a regurgitation of pandemic talk. There is so much to look at that happened in 2021. We're going to cover some of the biggest news stories, some of the biggest pop cultural events, some of the things from the political world. We're also going to look at what is next for us. And, of course,
As with any big, the end of the year, it gives us a moment to look back at some of the folks who have passed on and not going to be part of that that whole thing to move into the next year. And we're not even talking about the over 750,000 lives lost to the pandemic. So Mary, let's go back in this. As I was just saying, let's take a look at when the year started. We were kind of reeling. I think at that the vaccines were just kind of being introduced. They weren't even rolled out, I don't think, at the beginning of the year. I mean, at the part of the beginning of the year. So let's say, what do you recall about that period, and how were you affected? Mary Reed Johnson.
Wow. Well, I would say as early as 2019, there were some stirrings going on, and we kind of poo-pooed everything through 2020. Our leadership poo-pooed everything. And so by the time 2021
right.
hit, our current head of state was really full steam ahead trying to get something approved that people would trust, you know, vaccines in arms so that we could maybe get our lives back. And so it was a tough and uphill battle, but I'd say current head of state got some stuff done that was very much needed, or we'd, I think, have many more casualties than we do.
Right. Now, that's a very interesting point, and if you look at it, because if I recall correctly, for you guys, President Trump had kind of started with the whole vaccine rollout, trying to get the whole thing started with that. But Joe Biden came in because it looked like it was as if the President Trump had kind of stopped and didn't do anything else. And so Joe Biden and his folks literally picked up the mantle, and they literally ran all the way across the finish line with this, getting the vaccines introduced and getting emergency authorization, use authorization out there to folks, and literally making huge news with the nurse who was the first to receive the vaccine in our country. And so, as you said, and I love the wonderful phrase that you just said, poo-pooed, because that is exactly what happened with the former administration under the Trump folks. Who appeared that were a bit resistant to this whole idea of the pandemic. And there was even some discussions before that they knew when they knew, how they knew, and this information was not made really get wind of this whole thing until I think the dam broke in like February, if you will. I think February of 2021, and I seem to recall I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and Mary, you're generally out in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. So we got a chance to look from our perspective, and I recall here in New York. Now in my community. I live in and mixed in with a lot of folks who are of Asian descent, and they had already been wearing masks around my neighborhood for years, literally. That's the truth.
Because COVID is also known as SARS-2, and SARS they had dealt with in many countries, especially Asia, in the past. So they were used to wearing masks, and they took things very seriously. One of the other things that I was doing, because one of the, I don't know if it's a myth, but one of the stories out there about COVID early on was that it came from bats. And so if you'll remember, we had these coins, a lot of our quarters, had I don't know, national preservation type things, but there was a ugly bat on the 2020 coin that I was like, this is so ugly. It's probably going to mean something someday. And if I challenge everybody, find a back quarter and keep them, but they're not a lot of them. So,
wow.
You know, we'll see what history has to say about it, but I don't think it was a coincidence.
Wow, that is so interesting. Now, I'll tell you, in at that beginning stage, and that was the last time I had taken a New York City subway in my neck of the woods, because then they rolled out with information was just flying fast and loose. We didn't quite know what to believe. We didn't quite know what to anticipate with the pandemic. So as this whole look back at 2021, this year in review, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're going to be delving in. Almost every topic has some connection to the pandemic. So we're going to move forward with some of these other wonderful things to look back at, some a little sad, but, you know, some great memories also. And Mary Reed Johnson, I want to say, just even on a political front, since we kind of were talking and introduced, you know, mentioned Donald Trump and Joe Biden and all this, you have to be under a rock if you don't recall. Like, it was the early part of January, like around January 6th, I believe, was the date when that insurrection happened. And that
Absolutely. Is
on the Capitol, and which shocked everybody. I was glued to my TV, and we were broadcasting, I believe, on Hair Radio about this. This went on, and it just made huge news. It was just, you couldn't believe what your
yes,
eyes were showing.
Yes, watching it unfold. Yes, watching it unfold. A lot of people had that same kind of surreal thing and question. It's like, where are the National Guards? Where's our
mm-hmm.
helpers? Is that our, you know, is that our Capitol under attack? And is this for real? And what, you know, all those questions. But it was real.
It was real. You hit it on the head. And but if the occurrence, if you guys recall, out there, it was not so much a surprise. You could tell the way it appeared that the former president and all those folks were kind of, you know, allegedly what it seemed to be was that they were kind of goading these folks on. And that's, I mean, unless you, you know, if you're going to hide and hide it and, you know, be in denial, but it was very clear that these folks were under the impression that they were going to meet Donald Trump at the Capitol building. And so this whole thing where they were there and he was not, and they began to, you know, it was unruly. Thank the Lord that, you know, sadly we have folks who've lost their lives, a few of them tied into this. But it could have been so much worse. It could have been worse because these folks were under the impression, you know, false impression that, you know, that our politicians, that was the target of all of this vitriol and hate and all this kind of stuff. And so they acted out this. And thank goodness for the efforts of that wonderful black man who was the guard, the police officer who led them in a different direction.
Absolutely.
He led them away from where they were hiding. And that
they were
saved
so
their
intent.
Lives.
Yes, they were so intent with their hate. You could even see the pause. It's like, well, we're supposed to go in the other direction. But they were so intent on lynching this person that they followed him anyway because they were angry and they wanted to. And, you know, also there was no thought that they would ever have to be held accountable or, you know, accept responsibility for some really bad things.
That's right. And we didn't even get to that part, but that's absolutely right. The thing is, what I was going to say about that, yes, when the officer was leading them away into the opposite direction, it didn't occur to them once that they were going in the wrong direction and that that was a ploy by the officer so that they wouldn't.
Oh,
would
I
not,
think they
you know,
did,
the
because if you look at
mob.
That, look at that footage again, because there was just a second pause of the one who was like right behind the officer who looked in the other direction, like we're supposed to go that way. But he, again, that hate drove him to, like, follow this officer so they could, you know, cause him harm. And, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I think that that could be the case. I'm not disagreeing with that. My thing is that, like you say, I totally agree. I think they were so hate-filled that they could not think clearly, and their judgment and all of that. So that officer, he literally had them to follow him, and he led all of them, like, and literally like it was the Pied Piper, away from those. Now, this is why that is so significant for you guys out there, in case you probably didn't realize this. But had those folks, remember Mike Pence was there, there in that room, all those, because if you recall, the president had seemingly been pressuring Mike Pence to overturn, to not accept the results. That was the key. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Pence had to really go and not accept and do the right thing, which is to follow the Constitution. And Mike Pence did not have the authority to really overturn anything. So, but you know, apparently, you know, Trump did not want him to even acknowledge, you know, the results, which would have thrown things in chaos. And that's all that what it seemed to me is that the former administration was just trying to throw things in chaos. And had those folks who were going to open up and destroy all of that by storming the Capitol, had they been able to get away with it and got awful, you know, thank God no harm was done.
We might
Nancy
be in,
Pelosi,
I mean,
it'd
be
people.
Equivalent. Absolutely.
Not,
it'd be equivalent
might,
to being in any dictatorship country, yes.
Well, not mighta and coulda, woulda. We absolutely would have been a subject to a lengthier former administration. So Donald Trump would have still been able to. There wouldn't have been an election for, you know, Biden coming in. This is what is amazing that that, in my opinion, and I'm speaking myself, that if this this man, if Mr. you know, the former administration, let's just say that, had gotten away, so to speak, with really getting these folks riled up so much that they would have caused that, our world would be very different right now. And that, and they, it just seemed to me that some people don't care at what, at the lives that would have been lost. They're so selfish in their goals and, you know, what they're trying to get, you know, just have their own way, no matter how illegal and how awful and immoral, they didn't care because what would have happened, they would have remained in power.
People want to believe what they want to believe. They can't put it on anybody in the end but themselves. And it's unfortunate, but the good thing is they didn't overthrow the government that time. They didn't take over democracy, and people need to appreciate what, even if it's not perfect, what this family is and or can be. Trust, if you travel at all, you see some things, and you're like, well, America's not perfect, but it sure could be. And thank goodness it's not, but we still are not done yet. And by the way, even if you have a wonderful life and, you know, no harmful stains going on, it doesn't mean it'll stay that way. So you always have to be aware, and you always want to do whatever you can do, whoever you can influence, to bring about positive change or at least increase awareness of some positive standards there. And my thoughts might be different, but, you know, I think you can look at certain regimes and know that they're not good for women, or certain regimes and know that they don't like anybody who is not like them. And that's unhealthy at any level.
Absolutely. Well, that has all been exacerbated by, again, a culture we have begun to accept this whole, you know, rage that seems to be building out here in America, and it's been going on for hundreds of years. Well, let me tell you, looking back at 2021, folks, if you're just kind of tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, if you're just joining us, I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Mary Reed Johnson. You guys know her of Hair Head Heart. And we're taking a good look back at 2021. We're also looking ahead at 2022, some of the biggest stories that happened in this past year and why it's so important for us to take this look. I do it every year, Mary, as you guys know. I'm out there. We take a look back because it allows us things in the right perspective. We can kind of, you know, look forward and kind of know exactly what action we need to take and all that wonderful stuff. You know, that's how I kind of do it. Do you have a ritual that you do at the end and the beginning of each year?
Well, I think I've been reviewing just things more often than I typically do, and that's not a bad thing. And so I'm embracing change. Yeah, I'm embracing change. I'm always encouraging just people, myself and people around me, to stretch. And if you've never stretched, or you've always been putting off things, or you think you don't have enough money or enough this, I would say poppycock. This is the best time ever, best opportunities we've had in, you know, 1,000 years, whatever, to stretch. So I'd say make sure right now stretch. As far as traditions for my family, we are pretty diverse as far as what we like, but you know, our bonds are very strong, and so that, you know, continues. I have 2 grown daughters, and each is amazing, fabulous, and, you know, very successful in their own right. So, you know, encouraging them to keep growing, and I'm going to keep growing even at this age. You can never stop, especially with the new opportunities that are presenting themselves. So if you get that extra stimulus check or that extra little piece of cash, do something with it. Don't just go and pee in markets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I want to kind of jump in on as well. Speaking of 2021 and at the beginning of 2021, and whole stimulus check, which I think would have been about the second payment, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I think $600 was issued out, if I recall correctly. I don't remember how much it was, Mary.
About $300 each month, and that
but
is
it
ongoing.
Was never
I don't
enough,
know when it
though.
Ends.
No, but
well,
the I think
something
the
is
check...
better than nothing. These people, I mean, the moratorium that they had on housing, that was helpful. The $1,500 or $1,200 to help you, you know, kind of get through whatever until unemployment kicked in, helpful. For some people who are gig workers or contract workers, we weren't even in categories that had been monitored enough that we would get unemployment, right? So all that CARES Act stuff was really helpful. Some small businesses, and unfortunately not a big businesses who already had a lot of money, were able to get stipends to help them through. And so it was really a holistic approach to keeping us afloat as a country. So I will say that they...
I agree with you in theory, but when I look back and I remember this, I think what the whole thing was is that the payments and the way that they had divvied it up, yes, the money, no one's going to say money's not helpful. It is, and it's always on time whenever it does arise. But the thing is, I think it certainly was not enough, period. It was not enough money.
It's never enough.
I don't know. Well, I was about to say, I don't know anybody who would think that it actually was perfect and enough money for us. In fact, I seem even to remember one of the politicians when I think they gave us out, because they sent me money, I took it. But I think I think one of them was like, it was so low, and we had already been in the pandemic at that point for like 10 months or something. And I mean,
okay, think of your whole life. When have they ever given you money? Period.
Well, no, I understand and I totally agree with you. But the mm-hmm. issue here is that you got to remember, folks were unable to work. They wanted to encourage you to stay home. Other countries took the approach to give you, because if they gave you the money on a regular basis and gave you money each month, been more inclined to stay home, which would have cut down on the transmission potentiality, and it would have ultimately had a benefit to everybody's health. But they didn't look at it that way per se. So the little bit of money they were looking at, the reason that the money was issued, if you recall, was a stimulation to the economy.
Right.
Those
wasn't
are
about
the words that they were talking about.
No.
It wasn't about trying to, in my opinion, trying to really say, oh, we need to do this to, you know, keep everybody going and da-da-da-da-da. It was more so about stimulation of the economy.
Yeah, it absolutely was. But the thing is, we are the economy. We pay the taxes. We do this. We do that.
Right,
and if we
right.
can't move, then they...
Yeah, I...
So that's really...
Good point, Mary. Now, what about the vaccines? And I want to talk about this because then it was we started fighting about everything. Thank you, former administration in the White House, because what you have done is to make us look at our differences. We began to only focus on the differences. Don't get me wrong. The differences have always been there since the beginning mm-hmm. of time. But it wasn't the sole focus. And because of that, again, that word exacerbate, it has exacerbated everything. So when mm-hmm. I look back, yes, we got the stimulus monies. Those funds helped. They need to send another round, if you ask me, but that's my opinion. The vaccines were all over the news. Then we began fighting about the darn vaccines. And I remember because quite a few folks were reluctant about taking the vaccine, getting the approval of the vaccines, and where mm-hmm. do we stand now with the vaccines? And there are folks who now in certain cities and states where you can't even go into a restaurant and eat and sit down and eat without being fully vaccinated. And you have to provide proof or you will not be able to do that. So what do you say, Mary Reed Johnson? And I'll tell you what is going on out here in New York City. Now, Mary's out in the Minnesota area generally. So what do you say, Mary?
Oh, I think it's messy by design.
Yes.
So people have to just be logical. I mean, that might be asking too much, but people want to believe what they want to believe. They want to do what they want to do. But there are certain things called repercussions on your actions.
Right.
And then your actions are not necessarily individual. They are linked to certain things. So, for example, when people were dying with Philip Morris and the cigarette smoking and everything, yeah, it was cool. It was popular, blah, blah, blah. But they realized that smokers were infecting other people. Secondhand smoke was killing more people than the people who were actually doing the smoking. So it's, you know, that kind of scenario.
Well, I wouldn't say it was
around.
Killing more than but it certainly showed that. Well, listen, it goes deeper than that as well, because there was all kind of things that have been there's a whole bunch. It goes so deep.
That really is
very interesting.
Yeah, public health concerns are just that, public health concerns. People didn't used to want to wear seatbelts. People don't want to text and drive. But these are problems. And the individual I mean, they are as responsible as, you know, one person to the next person. So, we just have to get there. And so...
I agree. Well, good way to look at it, Mary. Yes, I agree. Now, I'll say on the vaccine front, and I myself was a bit reluctant at first because, you know, there's a lot of talk surrounding that people are still reluctant, even as we, you know, go to era at this time. There are folks who are reluctant to get the vaccine. See, my thing is this. There are folks, I understand the reluctancy of folks in this country. The interesting part is that there are folks who are reluctant for different reasons. There are lots of reluctancy, but almost all of us have different reasons for being a bit reluctant. Now, I have to say, I went ahead and got my vaccination. So when I do events and things like that we'll talk about, I wanted to make sure that I was in good health to do so and to make sure that I was keeping myself safe and the folks around me. So I went ahead, and I believe in science. That wasn't the reason for my reluctancy. My reluctancy is because of the awful history we have in this country as folks of color and being used for all kinds of, tests and this and that and being in, right, experiment is a better word, and being infected and all of these things that you're supposed to just pretend didn't happen. And when someone says to me, if they, you know, the folks who did these things say, listen, the sky is blue, I would literally open up my window and look out to make sure. I totally understand that. Yes, Mary,
absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Along those lines, Carrie, think about, so the number 45 who was saying, oh, you don't need this and drink some bleach and, you know, whatever. He didn't drink bleach when he got COVID, right?
No.
He went to the
medical facility. Do you that's right. Do you remember when
he was standing up there?
But
you all don't need it.
Right. Well, I remember the news conference where he was standing up there. And his doctor, one of the supposed physician, you know, she was in the background sitting down. And when he said, they showed her face when he mentioned about the bleach, he said later that he was just kidding. In fairness, we'll say he said he was just kidding. But she was in total consternation. She was like in shock that those words came out of his mouth. She later said this, so it's not like we're putting words in anybody's mouth. I believe she did a book and she talked about it later. But let me tell you, just very interesting. Now, as far as the vaccines go, I believe that we have definitely turned a big point, a corner with all of this. And in 2022, this, I believe that they're going to pretty much put this to bed. So I'm grateful of that. I think this this whole pandemic thing seemed to, has lasted so much longer than we had thought. You know, we just, like the former administration said, it'll just one day disappear. you wake up and poof. And so that was the thinking that they had. And so we've come a long way with folks, getting these vaccines. Right now, there's still the three major vaccines. They're now coming out with all kinds of pills and things to ward off serious infection and so much more. And they have children things and all this kind of stuff. So we're definitely turning the corner with the vaccines. Now, speaking of which, Mary, you mentioned something right before we went on air today, and that is talking about the hair and beauty industry. We have to work in them in this conversation. We really do. So, just to kind of go back a bit for folks who are just tuning in, I'm Carrie Hines. I'm with Mary Reed Johnson. And today we're taking a look back at 2021. It's our annual year-end review on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just kind of, if you're really just joining us, you might have missed our lead in this morning. We kicked off with the amazing singer that we actually lost this year. And it was a wonderful, wonderful song called A Lovely Day. And Bill Withers is the artist. And just how could you not just have fond thoughts and memories, Mary Reed Johnson, with A Lovely Day kicking off this whole episode. And we're going to be playing
that
some of the music
excellent
from
choice.
Some of the folks that we lost. Was that not? Now, just to take a moment, because you guys know we're going to be getting in and out and talking about this. Almost everything that we talk about has been traced back or can be tracked back to a pandemic in some way. So there's a lot to get into, and we're going to get in and delve on in. But the hair salons, this was one subject that I was able to really delve into on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And the one thing I have to say, and even before we get into that part, Mary, it was with the pandemic, there were lots of pluses and benefits, if you will, even though this was a very negative, sad story overall. But there were some wonderful things that were born out of this. Did you have any positive experiences that came out of the pandemic, Mary Reed Johnson?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Again, it was just a wonderful time to reflect. Even when the shops closed and reopened and closed again, even for me deciding who really was a worthwhile client, you know, this type of thing. Fortunately for me, most of them were very loyal and, you know, encouraging and, you know, this type of thing. It was nice to have the industry recognized as an industry and I mean, literally the gig workers and the contract workers, that is the bulk of the industry. I don't know if it's 62 or 82%, but the bulk. And so having them look at the big picture and what they might need or want. I had gap insurance when this first happened, and the gap insurance was anything ever happened. You know, if I couldn't perform whatever way or whatever reason, my gap insurance, in addition to the other things I had, was supposed to kick in. It did not. So exposed a lot of problems with the insurance industry and coverages and, you know, that type of thing. Not just me, but just worldwide.
That's amazing.
And so I think that's positive, because anytime you learn from an experience, that's a good thing. So choosing where you want to practice, how you want to practice, expanding your practice, offering classes on, you know, these types of things were not necessary before, but once it became an option, or you were aware of the option, you explored it, and I think it bodes well for the industry. Just so, well, I mean, there's a lot. And so.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Just to start to unpack some of those things is important.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, Mary. Now, for me and the Hair Radio Morning Show, there was a huge boon in the broadcasting for me. And I could tell you quite personally, during the height of the pandemic, when things were shut down, and here in New York City, it was a virtual ghost town. Nothing was moving. The trains had stopped. People were walking. There was just nothing going on. And everybody was in the house by like 8 or 9 o'clock. As soon as night fell, that was it. You were definitely not outside. And so I remember this. And what was absolutely amazing to me is that because you were home, there were things that we didn't anticipate a few years back, and that would be that folks were looking for things to do inside their homes. You know, they didn't even know who some of their spouses were because they had never gotten to spend that much time with them. They had to be reminded of their kids' names. You know,
oh, my goodness.
They had not.
May I share with you one of
absolutely.
The comedians named Jim Gaffigan? He has five
yes,
children.
Yes, I know who Jim
he
is.
Talk
he's
about
on,
him.
Yeah, he's on 60 Minutes, I think.
CBS
he was on.
Sunday Morning and just kind of
right.
everywhere. But he
yeah.
made a big thing of, like, discovering these five children and realizing that they were there to stay and that he would have to interact with them.
You know, I actually saw that, yes. I was a fan of his, so I saw that. Yeah, you're right. He was on CBS, Sunday CBS Morning News and 60 Minutes and all that stuff on CBS. But, yeah, we had
to become familiarized.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I love that. We had to become refamiliarized with a lot of that. And as such, for us at Hair Radio, folks were discovering the broadcast. So we have a lot of listeners from all over the world, and we welcome you. We love you. We thank you for being a part of our experience. But we were able to be introduced to a lot of folks because of the pandemic that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to meet so soon. So we are grateful on that level for being able to do that. And speaking of the Hair Radio Morning Show, we had a lot of folks who literally joined us in 2021 for the very first time and got to be part, thrust right in the middle of some of the biggest news stories about hair and beauty in the world. And so we're going to talk about that. And I've got to first say, like some of those hair salons that were open, were closed for a little bit, some states, depending on where you were almost like they didn't close at all. I think if I recall correctly, Georgia had pretty much opened right back up. Maybe 2 weeks if you want to say close. I think they gave it a week or two, the pandemic to come and go. And then they were right back open. Georgia was one of the first states. They were like, we are opening back up, honey. You're going to have to mask up, but we don't really care what you do, but we're opening back up. And I'm just exaggerating a bit, but let me tell you, I think one of the interesting interviews that we did was with the folks at Barbicide. The folks at Barbicide. So we had, Mary, I want to get this lady on. Her name is Nurse Leslie. And she talked to us at that time. Again, this was during the pandemic. We have it firsthand. And then we're going to get to the biggest news story, the very biggest news story, in one of the biggest news stories in the country, if not the world, but particularly in our industry. And we'll tell you what that is.
Oh, let me guess.
In the show. Oh no, not yet. We're gonna tease it for just a tad or two as we move into the next hour on our look back at 2021. I'm Kerry Hines with Mary Reed Johnson. We're gonna have you guys to stay with us, and then as we come back, we're going to delve on in with Nurse Leslie of Barbicide and kind of give us a little bit. It'll help us to kind of understand when we're listening to this broadcast, this replay with Nurse Leslie of where we were at that time. And then, like I said, we've got some big things to touch on in this look back. So I'm super excited. So we want you guys to stay with us. We'll take a little bit of a commercial break as we move into the next hour. And again, I'm so grateful to have you with us. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's my honor, my absolute honor, to welcome Nurse Leslie Rosti to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Nurse Leslie, we're going to call you this morning. You're on the Hair Radio Morning Show. with LaSonya Nicole and me, Carrie Hines. How are you? How are you, Nurse
I'm
Leslie?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm very honored to be on your show. So
good morning.
We're honored
to have you.
I was listening to you guys before I got on, and you guys have a great thing going here, so I'm happy to be part of it.
Ah, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Listen, we've got to, I'm going to kill the background music here because we've got to jump right on in. There's so much going on these days. And, you know, Leslie, just tell us a little bit about Barbicide. Now, you're the ED, you're the education director for Barbicide. And this is, you know, known everywhere. Everybody knows Barbicide. But can you just, you know, for those few who may not be as familiar, what can you tell us about Barbicide and its importance right now?
So I came to Barbicide, I came to the company King Research that manufactures Barbicide about 11 years ago, as you already referenced, I'm a nurse, and came to the company not really sure what my message would be to this industry. And for the last 11 years, I have been out saying, you know, something like this is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen. We've got to be prepared. And maybe some of your listeners have heard me at conventions or read from the textbooks that I've written for, or I may have come into some of your schools and taught classes to your students. And I've been preaching that, you know, we really need to be on top of our game when it comes to infection control. And it's unfortunate, something like COVID-19, to really get everyone to pay attention and to even have the consumer understand it almost as well as most of our licensees do this, the difference between cleaning and disinfection, the importance of properly disinfecting things, even things like PPE. You know, if I said that to any consumer 6 months ago, they wouldn't have understood it, but they do today.
Exactly.
And so
right.
Barbicide, as the leading product in this industry that was really designed for the professional beauty industry as a disinfectant, in 1947, which is kind of shocking to me that the formula hasn't changed since 1947, and we've been effective against literally everything that has come. When HIV came, yes, we were effective against it. You know, and here we are with COVID-19, and yes, we're effective against it. So it's kind of amazing that a product designed in Brooklyn in 1947.
Brooklyn, of course, the best thing to come out of Brooklyn. Let me just say that.
You know, and today it's manufactured in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places. But, you know, Barbicide is important because Barbicide was designed for this industry. When you talk about disinfectants, not all disinfectants are created the same. One of the things we're constantly being aware of is the fact that all of you have, for example, expensive shears, expensive equipment that you've purchased that you don't want it to get ruined. So we're, as a company, we walk that line for you of disinfecting properly, but also allowing you to keep your, you know, nice, good equipment, your sharp shears, all of those things in good condition. So things like putting in rust inhibitors that you wouldn't find, for example, in bleach. So it is an important product in this industry right now. So now I will say this. We have been selling into healthcare and the hospitals. So about we sold into hospitals for a couple weeks, sort of in the interim when everybody shut down and we were still making product. I feel proud to say that as a nurse that we did sell into healthcare for a while, but we will be ready when everybody's ready to go back to work. We're ready to, you know, to provide you with product.
Wonderful. Now, I've got to say, you also, the Barbicide, I happen to be on social media like all of our fans and show followers, and I saw the certification information on Barbicide.
Right.
Can you tell our listeners about that?
So about probably 7 years ago, I had an idea that I was going out to all of these schools, and I realized that for every school I could get to and do a presentation, there were 10 that wanted me to come, and I couldn't get there. So we developed this Barbicide certification originally for the schools, and it's free of charge. It takes about 40 minutes. You've probably done it. Maybe it doesn't even take that long.
Yes.
But it's really basic information. You know, one of the things I try to go out and remind when I go to a state government and try to help them revise their rules, or when I go and train inspectors in a state, when I go and speak to a big audience, I try to remind people this isn't rocket science. It's actually pretty simple. And I think some of the rules of some of our states and some of our textbooks even have made it more complicated than it needs to be. It's a pretty simple process to make your service as safe as possible using the right products and doing it correctly. It's really actually simple. So the Barbicide certification is that simple knowledge that you need to do everything as safely as you can. And, yes, it was designed for students who are going through school, but what I've discovered through all of this is that it's a really good refresher for somebody. You know, maybe you got out of school 20 years ago, and you just want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. You know, now it's, things are so scary, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So going back and taking this 40-minute class, it's free of charge. You get to print a certificate at the end of it that, you know, people are posting, hanging their certificates up and framing their certificates and all kinds of things. Because here's the other thing. You need a refresher, but you need to let your clients know that you did a refresher. Because
yes,
as afraid as you might be to go back to work, your clients are really afraid to come back into the barber shop or the salon. They are nervous. And so anything you can do to make them feel better about what you're doing and having a certificate posted says, I did this thing. I went and got this little extra reminder of, you know, what I already maybe already knew.
Now, Nurse Leslie, let me just, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines with my co-star and co-host, LaSonya Nicole, and our very special guest that you're listening to is Nurse Leslie. Now, she is the ED, the Education Director for Barberside, and we're so excited to have you on with us, talking about so many important things right now. I have to say, in preparation for the interview today, Nurse Leslie, we had a brief conversation. I really want you to kind of bring this point home about the disproportionate number of cases with regards to minorities and men of color. Can you just kind of share some of those stats and some of the information you were kind of introducing me to, which I found fascinating?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise to anyone, because if you live in a community of color, you've heard it already, right? You've heard in your community that, first off, men in general are way more susceptible to dying from this than women, you know, across any type of ethnic group. But then when we start talking about men of color, that number skyrockets. And part of the reason for that, and the main reason from a nursing perspective I can tell you for that, is that color and traditionally are not the best, I will say this, about going to a doctor, let's say, for a regular checkup. Most of the time I go to the doctor when I'm sick. And the problem with that approach to healthcare is that the two things that make somebody the most susceptible to this disease are hypertension or high blood pressure and diabetes, both of which have very, very silent symptoms. You know, you often hear them called the silent killer because your symptoms are so mild, you don't even feel them. So if you are that man and you're having symptoms that you're not even recognizing as making you potentially diabetic or hypertensive, and you now get COVID-19, your likelihood of dying is much, much higher. So it's not because you're of color. It's not because of a community that you live in. It's because you have an underlying condition that you didn't know you had. That's really the generalized theory of why it's hitting disproportionately in those particular communities. Now, I will say, that's also increased if you live in a community where people live very close together. It's why New York City is having such a problem. I have a son that lives in New York City, and, you know, everybody lives on top of each other, literally on top of each other.
Literally, that's right.
So anytime, that's right. You know, it's hard to socially distance when everybody lives so close together. It's why in the middle of the country, in the Midwest, I live in the Midwest, you don't see as many numbers. We don't live close together. We all, you know, we keep our distance from each other. That's how our normal lifestyle is. So you will see those numbers go down also or up disproportionately depending on how you live. So.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this is really just information that you can't really find out there so much like with this particular discussion point, and I love this. Nurse Leslie, can you talk a little bit? One of the biggest reasons for having you on the show today is that when you turn on the news, you hear that the salons, well, first of all, you hear that the states are about to kind of open back up and start rolling out a way to kind of bring the country back up, if you will, economically speaking at least.
Right.
So they're trying to reopen the shops, reopen the states, reopen, get back to some sense of normalcy, if you will, some sense. So this is a real part of the conversation. The salons, the barbershops that are out there, What are your thoughts? And let me just also say this, Nurse Leslie. The governors around our country are calling you. They're calling you. They're consulting with you. Talk a little bit about that, and what kind of a plan do you think we need to take to consider? Yes, they're calling
well,
you. You're the go-to.
I'm only laughing because I think everybody has a misconception, perhaps, that there is some master plan that's going on. And I will tell you the states are trying very diligently to get a plan together. But, you know, no one's ever been here before. Like, we've never been in this space before. And there would not have been a way to have planned for this. I mean, we can get as mad as we want about whatever did or didn't happen up till today, but no one's ever been in this position of having to create a guideline for literally reopening their entire economy. Who goes first? Does a restaurant open first? Does a barbershop open first? What order do we open things in? And when we open them, what are the guidelines that we can put in place? And some states are restrained by the fact that to even put a temporary rule in place, they have to have legislation. So some states can only give guidelines for when you reopen, and some states can actually make temporary rules. So depending on what state you're in, particularly as a barber or a stylist, you may have some temporary rules in place, but you may just have temporary guidelines. And one of the things I've been talking with governors about, with governor's offices, I should say, when they call and ask for my recommendations, I had a governor's office ask me the other day, they said, if you could make one temporary rule, what would it be? And I said, the one temporary rule I would make, which barbers may ruffle their feathers a little bit about, but hear me out, is that I think that all services in this industry, at least in the short term, should be scheduled. They should not allow walk-ins anymore. And the reason for that is that, remember, no one's had a haircut, legally at least, for the last 2 months in most states, right? And so the first day that you open up, what we do not want is we do not want 50 people standing in your waiting area, shoulder to shoulder, waiting for their turn to get their haircut. First off, that's a problem. Secondly, if that pressure is on you, as let's say the barber or the stylist, to turn that chair so quickly, you are not taking the time to properly disinfect in between each client, as was already the rule in your state, but is really important now. And I have been referencing what happened in South Dakota. If you don't watch the news, you may not have heard this, but South Dakota, they had less than 100 cases in the entire state. And one sick worker who had no symptoms, none at all, went to work at a Smithfield pork processing plant.
Oh, yes,
and now
yes,
400
yes.
people, 400 people within a few days now have COVID-19
wow.
in South Dakota, of all places, right? So I think we need to look at those examples and say, people with no symptoms do carry this and do pass it on. I had a governor's office yesterday call me, and what they wanted to do was buy thermometers, the ones you scan someone's forehead with, and they want to make every barbershop and every stylist use that. And my whole point kind of dumb, because if you have a fever, you're already sick, right? I can just ask you if you feel feverish. I mean, you already have a fever. I'm not worried about that person. That person can acknowledge to me that they're sick. It's the person that has no symptoms, that's walking in, thinks they're fine, and might be spreading it that I'm worried about. So I do think that there are some things that are going to go into place that may make sense, some things that won't. I'm not a big fan of, for example, gloves, making people wear gloves. I'm a fan of hand gloves.
And I
think that gloves become a problem because if you are not somebody who, as a profession, wears your gloves on, you know, I'm as a nurse, if I walked into your room and I already had my gloves on, you would look at me like, what are you doing? You know, you would expect me to walk in with my hands and wash my hands in the sink and then put on gloves before I touch you, because I could have been out touching everybody else with the same pair of gloves on. You have no way of knowing. And gloves will be in short supply. And I have a feeling what we'll see is people will put on one pair of gloves and wear them all day long, which is worse than not wearing gloves at all and just washing.
Wow.
In my opinion, hand washing is what we need to get in the habit of. You know, barbers typically have a sink right next to their chair. Why wouldn't you, in front of your consumer, wash your hands before you start a service? So you don't even have to say anything. You're demonstrating I'm doing the right thing. If you, at the end of a service, when you're done with your clippers, for example, where your consumer is still sitting there, your client's still sitting in the chair, you take your clippers, you get the hair out of them over the trash can, and you make a spray of, let's say, clipper side right over the clippers,
That's
and
right.
you say to your customer, I'm getting this ready for the next client. And what you're telling them is, I did this before you sat down. I disinfected these clippers before you got in my chair. And those are all of the things that I think you can do to make somebody feel more secure. But the question was reopening. I don't know the answer to that. People are asking for guidelines. My best guess is we will see some states, particularly in the middle of the country, the Midwest, start to reopen around the first part of May. I live in Kansas City. We just got another stay-at-home order until May 15th. So I don't know, you know, where that will go in each individual city or state. But I think by the end of May, we will probably see most states reopening, and it will go into barbershops and salons, and people just need to be, you know, ready to do that. You've got all the time to get prepared, so.
And ready for just about any kind of scenario is my point. We don't know what's going to happen, right, Nurse Leslie? So I'm definitely a believer that now that this has happened, and as you have pointed out at the top of the interview, that this has been something that you had a good feeling was going to happen, sadly, and it has come to fruition, and it's our reality. And, hey, I've got to turn it over to my co-star, Lasonya Nicole. I know you are chomping at the bit, and you have some questions for Nurse Leslie. You go ahead, jump on in. Wow.
You know, it was really, you know, we were talking earlier about the whole walk-in process. So just to listen to, you know, her feedback with the walk-ins, as far as highly suggesting that no salon take walk-ins at this point in time, was just very, very informative. And even with the way that, you know, she came about, and, you know, it comes down to that time essence or issue. Do you think, Nurse Leslie, that salons can ever go back to, you know, the – you know, prior to February of 2020, you know, format where, you know, there isn't, you know, where you can come to a point of taking walk-ins and having that full salon again? Or is it, you know, traditional salon beauty business as normal? Is it kind of out the window? Or do you think that we can actually return to that?
You know, I'm not sure on that question, because I think that there will be things that will indelibly change in our lives. I think that handshakes will go away. I'm not a fan of handshakes. If you've ever heard me speak, I say I would rather kiss someone than shake their hand, because it's not, you know, you don't put your lips where you put your hands. And so, but my husband prefers that I didn't do either, so I just don't do either. I think things will indelibly change. And I think, you know, it's interesting. I was telling Carrie when I spoke to him the other day, just a very simple conversation I had with my own husband. And I asked him, what do you think it's going to be like when you go back to get your hair cut the first time? And he thought about it for a second, and I said, what do you expect it to be like? And he said, well, I expect them to be wearing a mask. And I said, what if they don't? And he said, well, I'll get my hair cut, but I probably won't come back. And I think what we're going to see happening is that what the state is requiring of you in terms of how you manage your clients, how you manage your health and public safety, your infection control, that is going to be a minimum standard. But I think the consumer now is so much more aware of their surroundings, of how something should be, what it should look like, that that's going to drive you to do things differently. I think if your consumer says to you, I'm not comfortable sitting in a waiting room with 20 people, or I want you to disinfect that station before I come sit in that chair, I want you to take you that, you're going to start doing that because that's what's going to drive your business. You know, one of the things that Carrie and I did talk about briefly yesterday is that barbershops in particular are like a social gathering place, you know. And I feel kind of saddened because I feel like men, that's their place, right? Men don't have as many avenues as women do to sit and talk and have those conversations. And it makes me sad that that could go away. But it may just turn into something different, right? It may become a different way of doing it over time. But I do not see the walk-in concept becoming popular again, at least until we have a vaccine in place. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, we don't shut down the city or the country when we have the flu. And the flu kills 50,000 Americans every year. And we don't shut down the country for the flu. But the difference here is even with all that we did, with shutting down the country, with social distancing, with everything we did, 60,000 people will still die. And if we hadn't done that, it would have been millions of people. So we have to look at this realistically and say, we did what we had to do, and as we go back, some things might change, but it may be a good change. It may be good for everybody. So I don't see the walk-in being a thing for a while. If a state mandates it, I certainly don't think they'll undo it for a while.
Well, listen, I have to say, folks, again, if you've just joined us, we're on with Nurse Leslie, who is the Education Director for Barbicide. Now, you do a lot of work, and of course, my co-star, LaSonya Nicole, let me just make sure, get her in on this as well. You do a lot of work for the PBA. You have done some Milady updates. Can you talk to us a little bit about that real quick while we let everybody know if you have a question? We're going to try to get your question on. Press 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll see if we can get you on. But, yes, talk about some of the work that you do with the PBA and with Milady.
Well, my job, and people ask me what I do, it's sort of like drawing a big diagram of all the different – how everything intersects. And
yes.
Luckily for me, everything does intersect. So besides being education director for Barbicide, what that has allowed me to do is several different things. I have written for both Milady and Pivot Point, the vast majority in Milady world, all of their science content, infection control in structures and disorders, all those chapters most people don't like, I wrote them. And I have gone out to almost every state and helped them revise their infection control or health and public safety rules. In regards to this segment of the profession, of the industry. Probably the most important thing that I do, I mean, I have been doing things with PBA. I've been doing podcasts for different groups. But probably the most important thing for this group that I do is I've been really a big advocate in this whole deregulation argument so that when bills are introduced in states to deregulate this industry, I'm the one that tries to go and help shore that up so that we don't end up being deregulated, that this stays a licensed profession. And one of the things I'm struggling with a little bit right now is that some people in this profession are being a little penny-wise and pound-foolish, as I would call it. You know, we're seeing, like, on social media, people offering, hey, come by my house or my shop, and I'll give you your color mix. I'll mix up your color, and I'll give you a piece of paper that tells you how to do it. You know, that will come back to bite all of us in the long run when the deregulation arguments start again, because what we keep telling your governments of your state is these chemicals are professional grade. You need to go to school to learn how to use them. You need to get a license to safely use them. But if you're going to hand them to someone and say, go home and do it, I can't make that argument anymore. And so I understand everyone's looking for a way to, you know, put food on their table, but some of what's going on, you know, doing hair cutting tutorials for somebody over the internet, all of those kinds of things make it much harder when we go back a year from now, let's say, and someone's trying to deregulate your industry. They're going to say, well, people were doing it that whole time, and nobody died. That's what they're going to say. Nobody got sick. Nobody got hurt. And so I think I'm very big into that conversation, and I would like to see that we use this. Here's what I'd like to see. I would like to see that all the professionals out there, instead of us continuing to say, I can do a safe service, let's be realistic. You cannot do a totally safe service. If you do everything perfectly, if you barbicide the whole wide world, you're still closer than 6 feet to every single person that you're cutting their hair, doing their nails. Everything in this industry is within 6 feet. So instead of saying, I can do a safe service, which you and your consumer know isn't true, so I understand there's risks, and you understand there's risks, but I'm going to do my best to mitigate those risks, to make it the safest service possible. Look at all the things I'm doing to do that for you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Swayze Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You know what that means? That means that no man in the world can let go of this Aquarius. You dig where I'm coming from, baby? So like you see, I got something here that you don't ever want to turn down. I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul.
Your mind, your soul.
Every day of my life.
Nail tech or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It is Tuesday morning, January 4th, 2022. It's our show number 649. That's broadcast show number 649. Of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show that we started back in 2015. So we're so excited today. First of all, we have a really, really, really big show even ahead as we are in the mid portion of this broadcast. Coming up next, actually right now, Harlem Will. It's the Harlem Will Report, and it's usually about 7:30 midpoint of the entire broadcast, and I'm so excited to bring him to the broadcast for the very first time in 2022.
too. So it's kind of nice to say that. Harlem Will, the Harlem Will Report, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning, and Happy New Year to all the listeners of the Hair Radio Show. How's everybody doing?
Yes.
How you doing, Carrie?
Doing just fantastic, I have to say. It's really, really nice to have you on board with us, Will, and just, you know, making this big, splashy return to the broadcast. So I'm really excited. And I've got a couple of announcements I'm going to tag on to the end of your Harlem Will Report today. But what have you got for us, Harlem Will, in this new year?
Well, in this new year, everybody's coming in with some New Year's resolutions. You know, some of mine are trying to be a bit more financially stable. You know, everybody wants to save some money and trying to be a bit more healthy in what I'm eating and how much I'm exercising. Yes, even some of us people who love to exercise, we can fall off the wagon. So New Year's is definitely going to be a good jumping off point for me to get back into exercising. You know, just a lot of grounded things to really jump on. Absolutely. Any resetting you want to do on your own or anything that you're thinking about for New Year's?
As a matter of fact, yes. And we have this whole big thing on resolutions that we'll get on the air. We'll probably get on the air sometime on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to remember this conversation. But, yeah, I have a few things that I'm inspired to do and that I aspire to do this year. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll keep you posted. Harlem Will, good looking. All right. Very good.
All right. That sounds good. So, of course, you know, with New Year's resolution, everybody wants new beginnings. Everybody's looking forward to having a great new start to it, as well as the Democrats in a political way. So the first story I wanted to jump into was the new year bringing in the new mayor for New York City. I know everyone else has new mayors coming into their city, but Eric Adams is only the second black mayor of New York City, and he's coming in with a lot of optimism, but also with a lot of vague and a vague insight on what's actually going to be brought into the new year for New York City. So it is being reported in The Guardian, for many New Yorkers, the inauguration of Eric Adams as the 110th mayor of New York City and only the second black person to serve in a position has evoked a range of feelings from excitement and the possibility of change to confusion and concern. Some of those concerns are he has reinstated stop and frisk, and he also wants to reinstate the solitary confinement in prisons as well. And he also wants to turn 25,000 hotel rooms into permanent apartments, although the areas don't have zoning conversion requirements or the permits in order to make such changes. So while he wants to make a good amount of change in the city, it's not well known what those changes would be or if those changes are actually the best things for the city since they seem to be reinstated. So there's going to be more reported, and as the calendar days turn, we'll begin to find out what his actual status is, what his vision for the city is. Speaking of the city,
let me just add to that, because we've got to present, you know, a balanced look at it. First, Eric Adams comes from my borough here in Brooklyn, and I followed his career quite a bit here long before he was elected mayor to the entire city of New York. And so I have to say he comes from a long storied career as an LEO, you know, as an actual policeman. So when you say he's bringing his stop and frisk back, he's a man of color. He's under no way in this world going to allow the abuse that apparently and allegedly took place before and during some of the, you know, portions of his career. So if he's bringing back something that is, somewhat controversial, but he's doing it in a way that it's going to, you know, certainly add a different element to it, I'm all for it. I know this is a man of integrity, And so the other thing that I wanted to definitely look at that you mentioned that is important because we, you know, we have to look at everything. Solitary confinement, the whole thing with this, and we're talking about quite a bit of the abuse that seemed to flourish under the previous administration with Rikers Island and all this other stuff. And, you know, so, yes, there have been a whole lot of folks who have been on the side that say it's been entirely wrong to have the, you know, the, apparently the abuses that seem to have taken place with the whole thing about solitary confinement, and it's unhealthy. Well, while I may or may not agree, this mayor is looking, this new mayor is going to look at everything. Nothing is off the table. And so I love the Guardian for its positions on some things, but we've got to tell the whole story. And I, you know, so I appreciate, I love the report. That's what this is all about, to get folks out there talking about what's happening. So, and as far as the, you know, prison reform and all that, we're going to be delving into that right here on this broadcast. I have a special report coming up towards the end of January on prison, on parents in prison, and that is coming courtesy of the Sentencing Project, which are folks who do this for a living. Dr. Ganoush has put together a special report that we'll have, and we'll be talking more about it. But okay, I'll take that for now. Now, I won't call it vague. It's just that he's just coming in the office. We'll see what happens, as you pointed out. We'll see what happens and what unfolds. You know, so we got to give him a chance to get in and, you know, put his feet under the desk and get to work a little bit. And I think that he's going to do that. He's turned around. You know, I followed, especially in Brooklyn, I myself thought to look at thing of the, you know, the street of the ambition, the ambitious things that they've done here in this borough. And yes, you know, he's no, you know, he's no miracle doctor. It doesn't, you know, nobody is. But it's not so much about what he's going to do, but what are we going to do? So that's what we need to take a look at. So that's my whole, that's my standing on the soapbox, Harlan. Well, what else have you got this morning for us?
Sure. And just to add a caveat, the Guardian hasn't taken any biases. They're just reporting what people are concerned
with.
I'm
familiar
with
the Guardian, so I know them well.
Right. Just to throw it out there,
what else
there's no biases being taken right there. Just
no, no, that's okay. I know the Guardian slant. I could preach it forward and backwards. So what else have you got this morning?
Oh, okay. I wasn't going to call it a slant, but all right, moving on.
Well, no, but I am, because I'm familiar with the Guardian. I believe me, but go right ahead.
Copy.
That's what I said. It's nothing wrong. Let me just say this, just to be fair. It's nothing wrong. I love the Guardian as well. I read the Guardian stuff. I follow them. The thing that we've got to do always, and what we strive to do here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, present our wonderful facts, which we love. They are indisputable, right? And our commentary, which we're open to. And then we can, that's where we can add in some of the, you know, the comments, which is great. And I love that. But we, you know, we have to always present the whole balance, no matter what we're talking about. You know, it doesn't matter. So good job. Okay. You got me talking this morning, Harlem Will.
Sure.
So
do.
Go ahead. What else have you got?
Yeah. So let's also talk about how, excuse me, not millennials, but the boomers, the baby boomer generation, and this is the generation that was born between 1946 and 1964. Hopefully I don't make people feel too old, but this is a good thing.
Well, I'm not quite old in that boomer generation. Let me just officially put my age out there to some degree.
I didn't try to out you guys out there, I thought I was
a boomer. I'm not. But we have tons of listeners who are. I just looked at our demographics. We have tons of listeners who are a part of that generation. In fact, that's the bulk of our generation are the folks who are above 35. So not quite the boomers, but what's going on with the boomers?
So it is being reported in Insider and Forbes that boomers now own the median income in America, just about over $206,000. And that is, again, that is at the median. So boomers are, on average, the net worth presents a different picture, though, that it sits at around $1.2 million, nearly double the net worth Americans had at the age of two decades ago, which was a $746,000 in inflation-adjusted dollars. So, in other words, boomers own a large share of wealth due to the benefits that they had back in the day, of course, with low interest loans, higher wages, able to have families on one income. Meanwhile, households of younger Americans saw their average net worth decline from $103,000 to $100,000 over those same 20 years. So the income for boomers, it seems like boomers are winning now, and now the concern is whether they are going to be able to transfer a lot of that wealth down to the younger generation, or if this trend for the younger generation losing so much of their wealth is going to continue. However, it looks like boomers in 2022 are already winning. What are you thinking about that?
Well, first of all, now I'm raising my hand because I'll go ahead and sign up and I'll be an honorary boomer with baby boomer with all of that wealth talk. I think that's fantastic, and I'm not surprised. In terms of passing it down, I'm going to subscribe to the Microsoft fellow, what's his name, the real rich guy under Bill Gates.
Bill Gates.
I forget the fellow who doesn't, he's not leaving a penny to the to his kid. That fella. Because
I'm going to... He's going to leave some, but not all of it. He's leaving
right.
a small
portion.
Right,
no. I'm just being facetious. No, I'm aware. I just want you guys to, to know. No, I'm on board with that. I think that, I don't think I would, passing it down so much, because to me, we have a lot of listeners who fall into that. Even on the show, I was literally just looking, as I said earlier, at our demos, and I see we have a portion of folks who are between the age of 18 and 22, and they would kind of fall into that Generation Z. But they're getting some pushback, or not pushback, but there's some controversies because folks have looked at certain elements and said this and said that. So I don't know. I think what we try to do here is to just be fair to everybody. I think we still, no matter whether you're a baby boomer or even before that, whatever it was before that, or down to the Z's, I think that we are all still looking for the same things out of life. And I think it's interesting. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But my money, I'm not passing down to anybody. I've worked too hard for it. I'm going to stay and enjoy every drop of it. So when I go, it goes. So don't dumb thinking. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Cousin Will. Harlem Will is here with the Harlem Will Report. I love the report, Harlem Will. Good job. What else have you got
right.
for us
and,
this morning? Anything else?
And the last thing I wanted to show on, so, of course, millennials showing what they want to spend on, they love the streaming services. You know, we love to stream things, especially given certain times we live in. Everybody's looking at things inside. The last season, some of the top black shows to stream coming up so far is Insecure. Start off with the queen of the series so far, Insecure, starring Issa Rae, which is a comedy series that's looking at the friendship of two modern black women as well as their uncomfortable experiences and racy tribulations in Los Angeles. This is on its fifth and final season right now, so you can catch up with that on HBO. That is a well-written series by Issa Rae. She did a fantastic job, and she's going to be moving on to other things after the season. We also have an up-and-coming show on Amazon called Harlem. that it stars four ambitious friends, Camille, Ty, Quinn, and Angie, as they navigate their relationships and careers. Here in Harlem, and I must say, it was nice to see a lot of the areas in Harlem being covered in the sort of Sex and the City vibe that the show was presenting. It was really well done, and I'm sure people in the hair radio at the Stratosphere would love the hairdos that they had, particularly Megan Good. She was rocking a lot. Very nice. But my girl Angie had the fro popping. You guys got to check it out. It's definitely a series worth taking a look. That is on Amazon. The entire season is available to stream on Amazon. And making its return on Hulu is Atlanta. I call it ATL, Atlanta. I was down in Atlanta for about 6 months, so I think I could call it ATL. But the series makes its triumphant return this year on March 24th, and it is about two cousins who worked through the Atlanta music scene in order to better their lives and the lives of their family. And that premiered. This is the third season. And because of, again, a situation, I won't speak its name, but because of the situation, it had to slow down in production. But now they are ramping everything back up. And I'm excited to have the third season back after the last season left us on such a cliffhanger. So what have you checked out any of these streaming shows or any show in particular?
Well, I've heard of all of those shows. I happened to be in Harlem sometime in the last few weeks, and I did a photo shoot there. And that was the first thing that caught my attention was this gigantic Harlem billboard about the TV show. So I took a beautiful picture of it. I'll put it up on Facebook in just a few minutes so that you guys can see it. It's absolutely gorgeous. There are some gorgeous women. It's a beautiful, beautifully done graphic, and that caught my attention. But no, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I do intend on watching some of these shows that you mentioned. My favorite show that I do watch returns to the airwaves 1 week from today on Tuesday, January 11th, and it's called, I'm going to play a little snippet of the song, the theme song. It only goes 20 seconds. It's our kind of people. I love this show, Will. I love the show. I think Our Kind of People is amazing. What it is it's kind of like an old nighttime soap, like they used to have Dallas and Knott's Landing and all those, and Dynasty and all of that. They've got versions of it these days for the Generation Z folks and the millennials and all that. But I'm talking about the old classic nighttime soaps. And so this show, Our Kind of People, is just that. It's a beautifully done, and I mean richly beautifully done, show that focuses and features African-American folks from top to bottom. Top to bottom, literally. I was like, whoa. I don't remember seeing a show where there was only black faces, not too many.
In Martha's Vineyard, and it takes place in Martha's Vineyard of all places.
Right.
Martha's Vineyard, one of those exclusive areas that you know only
exactly.
only certain
yeah.
tax brackets are allowed to dine in.
Exactly,
so that's
exactly correct. Yeah, well, the thing
is, what do you think about that? Yeah, what do you think about these new shows that are showing black folks in a different tax bracket? You know,
that's what I'm going to tell you. What I want you guys to know is that the show itself is about natural hair. Not exactly natural hair. I don't want to say that, but it's kind of like the underlying theme is natural hair talk. So, it's a natural hair business. So just to have a TV show that includes, even in its fictional world, something about natural hair is groundbreaking. So that's why that show deserves so much of what we have to say. And so that's why I invite you guys to tune in. Now, please give it some time because you kind of have to, you know, even when I started watching the broadcast, I had to take a, you know, kind of really devote some time to pay attention to it. It's not hard to catch on, but, you know, you got to look at it for about 3 or 4 episodes and give it some time. But once you do, you will love it. It's beautifully done, beautifully shot, and the hair is out of this world. I love Tyler Perry, but this is not exactly one of the Tyler Perry type shows as far as the hair is concerned. I love him to death, but these folks bring the hair look. So do check out Our Kind of People. We'll be talking about each broadcast. So the show starts again on January 11th. They come back. It's Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. It comes back. And so we'll have an update on Wednesday mornings about what we watched on Tuesday night. So that's my big TV connection, Harlem Will, of the Harlem Will Report. So I just wanted to say great job today. Very good stuff indeed. So you did a great job. So listen, Harlem Will, I'm hoping you're going to hang around with us for a little bit. If you can, you know, stick around for a couple minutes and we'll, you know, we're going to work some things. I want to also, while we've got you, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that happened since we've last chatted with Will. If you guys are just joining us, we're live. It's Tuesday morning, January 4th, 2022. And it's about 7:53 in the morning as we broadcast. This is show number 649. So that means tomorrow, of course, is our show number 650. So we'll be doing a little bit of a celebration tomorrow. We have been doing nothing but celebrating for quite some time now through the show. So I'm just very, you know, very happy and excited. We did a special nighttime edition for New Year's Eve, Harlem Will. And it was really a great time. I think I have a 2-minute clip that I wanted you guys to take a listen. And this is from the New Year's Eve special that we had. So take a listen. Let me see. We'll take a listen. We'll be right back. We'll talk on the other side. And I'll keep the mics on. Here we go. New Year's Eve, some really interesting things ahead. I want to bring back to the line Shakora Rodriguez-Bay, and also we're going to bring back Statewide Chip as well to the line. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being on. Statewide, that was quite a song. I think we woke up a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Great job. Great job that. But, yeah, real talent. Real talent.
Thank you for
having me. Shakora, did you say you have a question for Statewide?
Yes, I do. Hi.
Okay.
So did you write, are you a writer? Did you write those lyrics?
Absolutely. I write everything. Okay. I'm from the muscle. Like, everything that you hear from me is from me.
Awesome.
So,
you know what I loved about, we're back live, what I loved about the New Year's Eve special, Shakora and Statewide Chip helped me during the broadcast. You know how we kind of have a lot of folks on Harlem Will kind of, you know, keeping the show moving, and that's what they kind of did. The entire podcast is out there. It's on like 10 different platforms. What you can do, if you want to listen anytime, you can Google it. Just put in Carrie Hines podcast, and it'll pop up. Or Carrie Hines New Year's Eve. If you put that in, poof, it'll take you right to the episode. Do check it out. It's wonderfully done. And at the end, you'll hear from a lady who's coming up in about the next 10 minutes. And that is astrologer Helena. So she'll be with us. She was introduced to you guys actually on that podcast, but you'll hear from her today on the Hair Radio Morning. So I guess she makes her debut, Harlem Will, on today's broadcast. So that's kind of exciting coming up next. Okay. So I'll tell you what, folks, we're going to continue in just a bit. Why don't we take a little bit of a commercial break? And we'll be right back. So, folks, stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to this morning, the Hair Radio Morning Show.
You Go Girl. You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
All right. We're back live on this Tuesday morning, January 4th. 2022. Just want to say thank you, Harlan. Well, thanks so much for the report. And we're going to be moving along this morning. We've got so much to get to. So make it a good day for yourself. We'll have you back soon on this broadcast.
Okay.
Harlan Wolf.
Absolutely.
You've got
my
it.
Pleasure.
Thanks again. Good job. All right, folks. Wanted to kind of turn to some of the things that have been happening as we were talking about a little bit here with the Harlan Wolf report. It just this past week, you guys know we lost the amazing and incomparable Miss Betty White. I found a clip that I wanted to share with everybody. Now, the audio is not the best, but just our little way to pay tribute. It's only about a minute and a half. Take a listen, and we've got more to say.
Thank you for being a friend.
I'm the luckiest old broad on.
And we're lucky to have her. The only child of an electrical engineer and homemaker, Betty began her career in radio in 1939. But in 1952, Betty got her first start in television with her first series, Life with Elizabeth.
But this is Martha. You two are going to be brothers.
Betty continued to work in TV over the next two decades, but it wasn't until 1973 that she found mainstream success.
I'm sorry, but nothing you have said could ever make me change my mind about Lars.
As the devious, man-hungry Sue Ann Nivens on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Betty won two of her five Emmys.
She was your live-in neighborhood nymphomaniac, and everybody should have a hobby, and boy, did she have a hobby.
Then, in 1985, Betty began a new series and found yet another generation's worth of fans.
Oh, we better put on the welcome mat.
We don't have a welcome mat.
What about the one Dorothy says is at the foot of your bed?
As the lovable and naive Rose Nyland, Betty and her fellow Golden Girls revolutionized what it meant to be a senior citizen.
We're all just as vital and sensual and nutty and good and bad as anybody else.
In recent years, Betty had enjoyed a career revival. People just couldn't get enough of her, and she was everywhere. From hosting Saturday Night Live in 2010.
Well, it's great to be here for a number of reasons.
Roping Sandra Bullock in The Proposal.
It's like an Easter egg, huh?
Betty proved age is just a number.
I'm blessed with good health. That's the bottom line, and that's the thing I'm luckiest about. But I love what I do.
And that's why, despite her age, Betty showed no signs of slowing down, even having two shows on the air at once.
To still be working and have them come to you offering you work, not begging for it, that it's just too good to be true.
Betty credited her positive and youthful spirit to her late husband, game show host Alan Ludden. Married for 17 years before he passed away of cancer in 1981, Betty called him the love of her life.
I swear, somewhere in here he'd tell me you gotta keep going, you gotta, you know, shape up or ship out.
Betty devoted much of her widow years to being a champion of animal rights. Using her celebrity status and million-plus Twitter followers, she helped bring awareness to her cause.
Please visit addogs.com to learn how to help today.
But perhaps her biggest contribution has been making her golden years truly golden. Like Rose Nyland and friends, redefining age and loving each and every passing birthday.
Everyone gets better and better and better, and I get older and older and older, but it's wonderful.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Joss's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Joss's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 247hairradio.com network.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines on this Tuesday morning, January 4th of 2022. Yes, that talk radio show will be up at about 8:30 Eastern time this morning. Wanted to just go ahead and drill that in. Brand new episode, real excited about. Michael Hopkins will be with us along with the Angels. Of course, Michael's Angels panel. Hey, wanted to kind of mention a couple of things. Tomorrow we are acknowledging our big, big, big milestone. It's the 650th live edition, not of my career, but simply of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we started again this broadcast, this version of it in the year 2015. So it's been 7 straight years of the morning edition, which is a 3-hour weekday morning broadcast, and we're real excited about. So our show number 650, we're going to have some remembrances and some surprises and some more great music and all that wonderful good stuff. That's on tomorrow's show from 6 in the morning until 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time right here on the broadcast. So really, really good stuff. Hey, coming up in just a couple of minutes, the astrologer Magi, Helena, and she comes to us from the West Coast. It's her very first time being, on this live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So real excited to have her on with us. And then right after that, again, Vet Talk Radio will be on. So please take, stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. Also wanted to say thank you to so many folks who help to make this broadcast happen every day. And we've got some wonderful folks coming up in January. You guys are going to absolutely love this. We really do. Dr. Michael Obeng, you guys know the Miracle Doctor. He returns to the broadcast. So we're real excited about that. Dr. Yolanda Ragland from FixYourFeet.com. She'll be with us live on the 18th of January. So real happy about that. About 8 o'clock in the morning. Also, right before that, we're going to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. With a new special broadcast that'll be coming up. And then again, as we mentioned on Harlem Rules Report, I can say that this morning, we are going to take a look at prison reform with the folks from the Sentencing Project. So it's a big January, and as it should be, as we get 2022 started. Why don't we take a little tiny bit of a music break, and then once we finish with our little tiny music break, we'll roll right on in with astrologer Helena. You don't want to miss that. So stay with us. Here is my classic. What other way to start the new year than with the incomparable Miss Patti
LaBelle as well. So stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to get to. New Attitude from Patti LaBelle.
And I'm
I'm shouting out the hair radio show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the hair radio show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Trying to start a hair industry business and need help? We've got you covered. Listen to brand new episodes of our original radio series, Hairpreneurs, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hairpreneurs. Okay, we're back live Tuesday, January 4th, 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. If you're just tuning in, then you really have missed quite a bit, so you'll need to replay this episode. But we kind of led in with a look back at 2021, which was really, really nice. Mary Reed Johnson, of course, helped us with that. And then Harlem Will was on live this morning, and it was quite a report. So if you didn't catch it, definitely play the show back. You're going to love what you've heard. So, yes, we really go through quite a bit. The Harlem Will Report is where Harlem Will kind of joins us. And not so much a little bit of news, a little bit of facts, a little bit of commentary offers a great mix. And we get to chime in on that. And you have the same right when you tune in. You can call in and share your perspective. That's what it's all about. It's what's happening that matters. And real happy about that. So he'll be with us again, hopefully on tomorrow's broadcast. Coming up next is the one and only astrologer, Helena. So we're going to have you guys to stay with us. Lots more to go.
Morning coffee, vanilla latte served to go. Drink it slow.
All right, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is my great honor to bring to the line, I have to say, she is a celebrity astrologer. She's all over the internet and in so many different newspapers. It's my great honor to bring to the line Magi Helena. Helena, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie, and good morning to your listeners. Hi.
Yes. Well, listen, I am just going to jump right on in because this is something that has been very important to me to bring to our fan base here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But first, I have to kind of break it down. What is astrology, but science-related astrology, if I'm saying that correctly? Please, Helena, please.
You're saying it just fine, Carrie. Basically, astrology is the observance of the planets and asteroids and so on in the sky. And figuring out how, if at all, these points, these bright, shiny points in the sky influence us here on Earth. That's kind of astrology in a nutshell. What's really interesting is that although some people think there's lots of kinds of astrology, in fact, there's really only two kinds. There's belief-based astrology, which all ancient forms of astrology are belief-based, and there's science-based astrology, which is based on statistical research. If you take, let's say, 10,000 couples and you run their charts through a data program, you can start to see the similarities between relationships that are happy and relationships that blow up. So we start with a hypothesis, just like any science, like, hey, I wonder if that works. And then you do the research to figure out if it works consistently or not. If it works consistently, you've got something you can really use. If it doesn't, hey, back to the drawing board. Start with a new hypothesis and you know, start over. So the type of astrology I use is based on this scientific model. If it works consistently and reliably, then we use it. Otherwise, we don't. So that what that means is we have accurate advice to give people. I'm not just making it up. It's not just some, you know, woo-woo belief. And I'm not against belief-based astrology. It just isn't accurate enough to give concrete, solid advice to people. And if I can't, you know, really be sure that I'm leading them correctly, I don't want to be leading them.
Well, I do want to ask you about that, because it seems to me if, you know, the science, I just had not heard that correlation between, you know, the science being used to describe, I guess it's still a, you know, I've heard of the, I guess, is the belief-based astrology, so to speak, a lot more prevalent, I guess is what I'm driving at.
Yeah, it's probably okay. About 99% of all astrology, because one person says it, somebody else says, "Oh, that sounds cool," and then they use it, but there's no validity in the sense that it can't be proven, and so
right.
People have always regarded astrology as something to believe in or not, like it's some mystical thing. Now I'm a mystic and I'm highly intuitive, but the principles I use are based on scientific research. And so that then can't just be dismissed as, oh, I don't believe in that, because science doesn't work like that. People who say, well, I don't believe in astrology, I say, do you believe in gravity?
Wow.
Because it doesn't matter whether you believe in gravity or not, it's still going to work. You know, you drop that apple, it's going to fall.
It's going to, exactly. Wow. Well, I have to say, we are just blown away here. And I have to start with Magi, Helena. Magi,
mm-hmm.
is describe for us again what that title is. I understand it is a title, but tell us a little bit about it, because it's just fascinating on your website. But yes, please.
Oh, thank you. You know what? Magi is a title. I was awarded that title when I became certified as a level 4 Magi astrologer in 2002. And so Helena's my name, Magi is my title, and because I'm kind of an informal person, I'm not real attached to the title all the time. You don't have to use it. Just call me Helena.
Okay. Well, we love that. Magi, Helena. I love saying Magi. Okay, so that works for me. Now, I see a lot of this that you seem to be about to me. It's very different for me, and that's what really caught my eye when I'm just kind of looking through,
mm-hmm.
scrolling or looking through the internet for different things, and you know, and coming up with folks to bring and introduce to our fans. I have to say I was really kind of surprised, and I think I saw something about on your website. Now, I guess, Helena, the first thing I should, since I keep referencing your website, please share that with everybody, if that's okay.
Well, it's magihelena.com. So magihelena.com.
Oh,
and I
awesome.
Do invite you to come visit me, and there's a nice little coupon you can grab and sign up for some freebies, too.
Let me tell you, folks, her website will blow your mind. I love it. It is, and this is true, it's very thorough, very clear, and it looks very helpful. And you start reading through some information, I think you'll be very happy and very pleased. So I want to ask you about, well, you're welcome. I want to ask you about the timing of what this means in terms of, talking about astrology. So why is timing so important? Because I've never heard that associated with it before.
Well, you know, lots of people say timing is everything. I think a lot of people kind of intuitively understand, you know, hey, timing is important. And yet nobody ever takes it to the next step. Okay, well, if it's important, how do I use it? So what I've tried to do is take it to the next step. Here's how to use it. Because here's the thing about astrology. Simple astrology isn't accurate, and accurate astrology isn't simple. And if I wanted to teach someone enough to teach them to really use this relatively complex system to get their timing, I might have to work with them for 5 years. So that's not that doable for the average person to go study something for 5 years just to figure out the best day to go to a salon for the first time, you know.
Exactly.
So what I've tried to do is sort of fill in the blank and actually give people a tool that they can use based on this research-based system, tools that they can use to know, hey, when to go on a first date if you've got high hopes that this person could really be important to you, could really be the one. Timing can make the difference between meeting your soulmate or meeting a heartbreaker.
Uh-huh.
Timing makes a big difference in the day you get married. That chart of the marriage date will rule that marriage as long as those two people stay married. Same with starting a new business. Same with debuting a new radio show. Same with making an important appearance. So, and there's all kinds of different cycles. There's cycles that make you more beautiful and cycles that make you more ugly. So unfortunately, when we're in ugly cycles, we tend to look in the mirror and, you know, sort of have a minor heart attack and then go,
I got to go
do something. So then you go do something under those same ugly stars that are influencing you to look your worst. And what you do comes out bad because you're under ugly stars. So no matter how bad you look under ugly stars, you want to wait for your beauty stars before you go to that salon for the first time or you go get that Botox or whatever it is you're thinking about.
Right.
Or even starting new products, which are so expensive now if you want quality. You know,
exactly.
If you start that expensive new whatever under ugly stars, it's not going to work for you. It's not going to make you more beautiful. You want to wait till you got the beauty stars and then start that expensive new product. So those are some of the ways that we leverage timing. And I offer these instant calendars now on my website. They aren't free, but you can get one almost free with the coupon, the first
one.
But you can get a calendar for love. You can get one for career and love. You can get one for health and beauty. So depending on what you're interested in, you can get a calendar that shows you all the ups and downs of when to do important things.
Wow. Well, I'm loving this. Let me just catch everybody up. First, folks, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very special guest on with us today. It's her very, very first time ever being on our broadcast. And she's an amazing, very well-known, I'm going to say renowned astrologer, who I'm just blown away with her conversation this morning.
Oh,
so I want to, I want to, again, welcome Magi Helena. And, you know, we'll call her Helena. I want to welcome her again to the broadcast. Just really great stuff that you're talking about. Now, one of the things that really strikes me when it comes to, you know, navigating, you were just kind of, you know, a little bit mentioning about timing and all of that. And I want to talk about, you know, relationships a little bit. How important play, or does it play a part? Can astrology play a part in, you know, creating or building personal relationships that, you know.
Absolutely, Carrie. It
really?
Sure does. First of all, if you're in what's called Cinderella cycles, those are the cycles that can help you meet your soulmate. Those are incredibly important to know about, those Cinderella cycles and how many you're in, because you're going to use those cycles to choose the days. Like, let's say you met someone online and you're, you know, moving forward. Things feel good enough, you're moving forward, whether you're moving forward to want to meet them. Now, this doesn't relate to just a sexual hookup. If you're just hooking up, you don't need Cinderella cycles for that. If you want to hook up, but you hope maybe it can go somewhere.
That's a cycle.
Well, you want your sexual cycles, because there are sexual cycles, good sex cycles and bad sex cycles. So those are super important to know, too, you know, before you plan your vacation or plan the first time you're actually going to get horizontal with somebody.
Wow. Well,
but
I think
love,
this is our very first time having this discussion. But I'm loving it. Yes.
I'm not real shy at this point after all these years talking to people about what's real.
I'm loving it.
I'm going to go back, though. Thank you. I'm going to go back
please.
To Cinderella, which is about meeting your soulmate. That's the first step, if you will, of building a relationship and utilizing the stars. You know, what was the word you used? Leverage them. I don't know what the word was, but that's essentially what you're doing. This is a system that can help you if you use it. So, hey, I don't know that many people that don't want more help in life. We all need it. I mean, life is rough, you know. So heartbreak cycles, that's another kind of cycle a person can be in, are horrible. And people you meet under heartbreak cycles – have a much higher probability of breaking your heart, and nobody wants that.
Wow.
So we want to know when we're in Cinderella and when we're not in heartbreak to meet those wonderful new people we're hoping to meet in person that we know online. That's the first step. Also then, each of us has a birth chart, you know, the chart of the moment that we were born. And your birth chart and somebody else's birth chart are going to interact together in predictable ways.
Mm.
If you understand the system. And I spent years, because the whole reason my calendars and my love compatibility reports were even born is people kept saying, Helena, I need your help, but
yes.
I can't afford you every time, or I don't want to wait, you know, weeks to talk to you. I need to know right now, you know, I need something affordable. So that's kind of how I ended up developing these instant products. And with the relationship reports, I took a data pool of couples that I knew personally or professionally, and I knew the backstory, and I knew the outcome. And I started digging around for, okay, what algorithms, what equations can explain this relationship? And I spent years on it, but I eventually got there. So my reports can either give you a real cheap, inexpensive, quick, like, brief look at somebody you're just thinking about meeting maybe. How's that likely to be? Will you be attracted to each other? Could they break your heart? Are you likely to form an attachment with each other? Then I have a more complicated report that gives you all the potentials. You know, are you likely to piss each other off in this way, or are you likely to piss each other off in that way? How compatible are you likely to be, et cetera? So those things are pretty amazing. And I do offer, by the way, everybody, a 100% money-back guarantee on all my stuff, the calendars and the love reports.
Helena, that's what I was going to ask you about. How can folks get their hands on these reports? I'm raising my hand right now as well.
Yeah, go to my website, magihelena.com. Hit that coupon that'll pop up and aggravate you in the first few seconds, but it'll give you $9. And a love calendar, for example, a one-month love calendar is $9.99, so you can get that for 99 cents. Plus, I run freebies, and I'm running a double freebie about January 11th. I haven't finalized the date, but it'll probably be that day. So if you want a double freebie, be on my mailing list, sign up. There's a sign-up page for freebies, and get on there, and you can try some cool stuff for free. I usually run them every couple of months, and then all kinds of sales and specials and other stuff too.
Well, we are loving this. Now, that's www.magihelena.com.
That's it.
Is that correct?
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Absolutely. Well, I think this is quite interesting to me, and I love that you have these amazing reports, and you break it down for everybody. So there, you definitely can find what you're looking for on that website. And so really nice. Yes, well, I wanted to ask you my big question here.
Yeah.
What about do folks always, first of all, are you like one of those, one of the, you know, where the doctors or the lawyers, you know, you always get hit up for, questions about, for information, just like free advice, so to speak.
Of course. You know, every professional does. And, you know, I understand
absolutely.
People's desire, and I also understand I spent way too many years struggling for money to not understand that some people need stuff inexpensive or free, because that's how it goes sometimes.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins. Right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network. Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina.
The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back live. Yes, it's a double dose this morning. I'm Carrie Hines, and if it's Tuesday morning at 8:30, as it is on this 4th of January, we're going to see Michael. We're bringing to the line the host, Michael Hopkins. Folks, kind of the background, if you can, let's kind of keep that a little bit down so we can kind of hear everybody clearly. So good morning, Michael Hopkins. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing just fabulous. You know, Vet Talk, I have to say, you guys, we are just honored. You're doing a great job with the broadcast. We're shouting out Michael's Angels this morning, Katrina, Newart, Nicole. And Michael Hopkins, how are you doing on this January 4th? Happy New Year, by the way. And to all the listeners of Vet Talk Radio Show.
Happy New Year to all you guys. And the most excitement I got going on right now, looking at my window to my house, is all this beautiful snow that we have down here.
Wow.
That's what I'm looking at right now. It definitely snowed down here in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay, well, awesome. We'll keep it there, not New York. Listen, Michael, I know we're tight on time today, but I know you have a big report on some of the claims help. So we should get started. Go ahead. What have you got for us this morning?
Oh, yes. Well, the show that we're going to be doing today, and it's just going to be a short one, it's just all about what happens when a veteran is turned down or denied for a claim. What actions do you have? What can you do? And that's one of the things that a lot of people, unfortunately, in the veteran community, we get stumped. We don't know what to do, how to do, when to do, and all that good stuff. And we actually have three options that we'll be sharing with everybody. We'll be sharing three options with everyone.
And I just want to jump in and say that after that presentation this morning, the Angels will be back. And I'm so happy because on a lighter note, you'll be able to walk everybody through some of the ways that you guys spent your holidays this season. So that's coming up after this claims update for all the listeners. So great job, Michael Hopkins. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carrie. Well, Carrie, I just had a short shout-out that I would love to do for a dear friend of mine. His name is Kevin Morris, and he is a vet buddy. You know, he's a good friend. Matter of fact, he's a native New Yorker.
Wow.
And unfortunately for him, he's laid up in the hospital because he has to have some serious surgery right now. And he, like I said, he's one of my vet brothers. He is a great guy. He's a great guy.
Well, we're gonna,
and
we're
we found out about this stuff. Just a little bit of a shout out for him right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, Michael. Thank you for that.
Okay. Quite welcome. Well, let's get into it here. As I stated before, a lot of times, a lot of my veteran brothers and sisters like myself, we run into this dilemma. And the dilemma is this. We think we've put together this dynamite claim, and we've submitted it, and somewhere along the way, the claim section of the VA says, no, that's not service-connected. Well, Carrie, what do you do? They say it's not service-connected.
Right.
And that's
you don't know where to turn, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right, right. You get frustrated. Well, let me lift some of the frustration for both my veteran brothers and sisters and for the families or the civilian side out here. You have three options when the VA decides, or the claim section rather, decides that your claim is not valid. It's not service connected. The first thing that you can do is you can file what's called a supplemental claim. This is filed when a veteran discovers new and material evidence that the VA claim section may not have in reference to the claim that was denied. And you know, Carrie, this particular evidence can be very vital to your claim. A lot of times what happens, and we'll submit stuff to the claim section, and we may be missing the most vital piece of information that they need to grant us a service connection. We may be missing it could be something very simple that we should have submitted and we just didn't know or we couldn't find it at the time. And I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
Suppose as a veteran, while you're on active duty, you hurt your left knee playing basketball or in the field. It doesn't matter. You hurt your left knee. You went on sick call. Your knee was diagnosed as an injury. They even gave you crutches for 2 weeks. After that, your knee still bothers you. Well, you decide to leave the military, go back to the civilian life, but you still have the same issue with your knee. You even, on your exit physical, when you're leaving the military and they ask you, do you have any problems, you even mention it in your exit physical that you still have problems with your left knee. Time goes on. You go to a private doctor, or you can go to the VA hospital as your primary physician. Guess what you still complain about?
What?
Your left knee.
Wow.
You still complain about it. As you complain about it, it's getting documented as far as medical treatment that you get for it. Guess what, Carrie Hines?
What's that?
Guess what?
What?
There's your medical evidence that's missing from your claim. Somehow you forgot to put that in there. And when you go back and you look through your original service treatment records that when you were on active duty, you find all this information. There it is right there. It says you did get injured on active duty, whereby the VA said they could not find it. There it is.
Wow.
What you would do is you would download all that information or print it out. You would put all of that information together in a new packet, and you would submit that new packet back to the claim section. That's your new and material medical evidence that they clearly do not have if they tell you that they can't find it or it doesn't exist. It does exist. And a lot of people get frustrated when the VA tells them, well, we can't find it. Boom. There it is right there. There's your medical evidence. You submit it along with a 0995 form. Of course, the government has forms. You submit another what's called a statement in support of claim. In other words, your side of the story, and you tell them about this new and material evidence. Bam, you submit it, and guess what? 9 times out of 10, guess what? You'll win your claim. Simple as that.
Wow.
They have to concede. Isn't that something?
Unreal. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of people,
Brother Michael.
You know, they don't know that.
No.
Now, they don't know that they can do that. Now, here's the second thing that you as a veteran can do. If you feel as though the VA claim system has not looked at your claim properly, as veterans, Carrie, as veterans, we actually have the right to challenge the VA. We have the right to do that if we don't feel as though the claim that they are doing for us has been given true justice. That second part of this three-part is it's called a higher level review. And you as a veteran have the right to do that. Basically, what the higher level review consists of is the same information that you already have. And as usual, it's the VA and its forms. You fill out a 0996
form. This form basically is a higher level review form. It's a request. You're requesting that somebody more experienced than the person that adjudicated your claim, in other words, that decided that you were not suffering from something that was service-connected. You basically are telling the VA that, hey, I don't think this person took everything into consideration. Maybe they've only been doing this a short amount of time. They didn't look at everything. I turned in everything that I knew I needed in order to get rated. And it could be that same knee injury that we talked about previously, your left knee. So what you would do, you're not allowed to submit any more new and material evidence. All you want them to do is go over the evidence you already have, but you need a senior person to look at it, and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. You
No,
I was just going to say, not to interrupt, we're going to just continue and add some of this to our website. So before we run out of time, what else? I know you have the big thing you wanted to get to this morning for the Michael.
Right. And now the last one is called the BVA, or the Board of Veteran Appeals. The Board of Veteran Appeals in Washington, D.C., basically is for veterans, and they can override anything that a regional office decided for you as a veteran. And normally that's where the decisions come from. They come from a regional office. And I forget the amount. Next time I will be more knowledgeable on the amount of regional offices across the United States for veterans. But I know there's over 12.
We'll add it to the website.
Much.
Once we have that, we'll add it to hairradio.com. Sure.
Right. And basically your regional.
Yeah. No, go right ahead.
What I was going to say. Basically the regional office make the initial decisions for a veteran.
Uh-huh.
Once again, you as a veteran, you have the right to challenge their decision. So what you would do is you would put paperwork together, same thing, fill out a form, you send it in to the Board of Veteran Appeals, and you have several routes you can go. You don't necessarily have to submit new and material evidence, but you're going to the heart of the matter, and you want somebody even higher than a high-level review to look at what you have. They're called law judges. And what they do, they have expertise above and beyond what the regular claims people have. And they'll look at it, and they'll see if you have what you're supposed to have to get rated or not. Also, you have another option. You can submit new and material evidence for consideration. That's another option that you have.
Well, Michael, I'm hoping that we'll continue. Yes, go ahead. We're
going to
wrap it up so that we can move on. Yes.
Yeah, and I'll make this rather quick. It's just real simple. The third option, you actually can go in front of a law judge, just like court for civilians, only this is veterans. You can either go looking at them over the teller system, or you can go live in front of a law judge with a rep by your side and tell them your side of the story.
Well, Michael, I'm also hoping you will continue with this, if not next week on the following show. This sounds big to me. So we're not only going to put it on the radio show, but we'll add it to hairradio.com, and we're going to continue with this story with this. I think this is just awesome. Again, this is when the claim has been denied. Michael Hopkins.
Correct.
So
that's correct.
Yes, very, very good job. Yes. So please, folks, know that there's a lot more to this, and Mike, stay on top of it. Michael, you'll bring this back to us again, won't you? And we'll have a little bit more time.
Yes, sir. I most certainly will. This is just so, so important. And I'll bring it back, and I'll even break it down even further for everybody.
Awesome. Well, you've got, let me just say, you've got a huge folk listening audience out there. We have a lot of folks tuned in, it looks like, from all parts of Maryland and Pennsylvania and just about Virginia and just about everywhere to this broadcast. So
Listen, folks, we're going to change gears just for a quick moment or two because, Michael, you wanted to get this on with the angels, and that is the recent holiday time that you guys have spent, and we share the same thing for you guys, the fans of the show. So, Mike, I know you wanted to get this on today. So here is some recent holiday talk with Michael and the angels. Stay with us.
Up now, live. It's Vet.
All right.
Okay, we're back live with Vet Talk Radio Show with your host, Michael Hopkins. I'm Carrie Hines. And today we have our amazing Michael's Angels. You guys know Michael's amazing panel of producers, Nurjahan, Nicole, and Katrina. So joining Michael Hopkins and me. So I'm so excited about this. So I first want to ask you guys, you know, Michael, let's start with you. You are the ringleader here. So did you enjoy this holiday period? You know, did you have a great Christmas and New Year's already? Have you enjoyed yourself?
Oh, yes, very much so. Every year. Well, and actually, I've been married 39 years.
Wow.
I got married on Christmas
Congratulations.
Day. Oh, thank
wow.
you. And it really just has such a special meaning for me, my wife, and for my kids, because it was just like it was yesterday. It was 1982. I just went in the Army and came home to Philly, got married, and went back to the Army.
Wow.
And
that is
about
amazing.
6 months later, my wife joined me in Bremerhaven, West Germany, and we stayed there for 3 years.
Wow. So this time of the year is very, very special to you. And it sounds amazing. So how nice is that? Well, listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about all of that. I also wanted to take a moment. I'm turning the tables on Mr. Michael Hopkins and the angels, of course, Michael's angels. I want to turn to the angels. I want to ask them as well. Guys, you know, did you have a nice holiday period over these both Christmas and the New Year period? Did you guys enjoy these recent time? What are you doing these days in terms of how you're spending the holidays? Nicole, Nurjahan, Katrina, feel free to jump in.
This is Nicole, and my holiday was wonderful. I had the opportunity to travel to Kansas City to see my sister-in-law. And then travel to Ohio to see family and friends there. So it was wonderful. I just came back yesterday and still have a week left. Yes, with my kids out of school. So we're still having fun celebrating.
Awesome. It sounds so nice. How I tell you. All right. Well, listen, I've got to ask Miss Katrina. Katrina, have you been having a good time over these holidays?
Oh, yes. I've been enjoying myself, spending time with family. Matter of fact, tomorrow I will be going to a benefit that they're doing for my cousin because he used to be a basketball coach. So they're doing a benefit for him, the one that got murdered a while back. So I'm looking to do that, but I enjoy my family Christmas as well. So,
well, getting a chance to spend time with everybody.
Yes.
Well, I can understand. Okay. Well, sounds good. And keep us posted. Okay. And, the one and only Nurjahan. Yes. How are you spending these holidays? Are you having fun? Let's start there. Did you have fun over these Christmas and New Year's celebrations?
I did, and because my niece is here from Detroit and my sister, they surprised me. And so now it's not just me, my pops, and my mom, and my nephew, and my other sister and her husband. We got an extra load with us that we're able to to spend some time with. She don't know when she's going back because she's just like, you know, hey, she needed a break from Detroit. So that's good to have her here. And my niece is 5 and she's a handful. So she keeps me busy.
It sounds like it. Well, listen, I also want to tell you guys, for me, I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. Of course, on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we had a special nighttime edition that we just aired on New Year's Eve, and it was just fantastic. And it's out there on social media that we have shared. So please look at that or look for that. I also want to take a moment and turn back to Michael Hopkins, the official host of this radio show, the Vet Talk Radio Show, as you guys know, Tuesday mornings, 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central Time, right on the Hair Radio Network. So, Michael, I wanted to ask you, I want to ask each person to give us 2 resolutions. We have to do resolutions. It's 2022. So, Michael Hopkins, why don't you lead us off, Michael? What are 2 resolutions? What are 2 things you want to accomplish that you plan on accomplishing this year? And what would you like to say?
Wow, 2 things. Wow. Well, I know one thing that I want to accomplish, and I'm looking at helping more veterans. What I really want to do this year in 2022 is get my nonprofit together. That's my number one goal, is to get the nonprofit together to help more veterans.
Awesome.
That is the goal.
Awesome.
The other one this in 2022 is I want to make sure that I stay on top of any health concerns that I have right now.
That's a great,
that's what I want to do.
Great one. Okay. Well, awesome. Okay. We're going to go down and we're going to discuss some of these things, and I think it's going to be just fantastic, and we wish you well with both of those. You do know we're going to be playing this back next year, guys, to see how did you make out. You do know. Oh, yes, that's why we get everything here all on radio, all recorded across our platform so we can play it all back. But so we're gonna turn to Nicole. Nicole, what are 2 things, Michael's Angels panel, I should say. Nicole, you guys know her. Nicole, what would you like to add in there? Do you have a couple resolutions? Do you make resolutions?
Well, first of all, that's what I was about to say. I rarely set resolutions because I think anytime you set to change anything or do anything, to me, I think, okay, start right there where you are. At that moment when you're thinking about it, go ahead and start on it right then. You don't have to wait until January or, you know, at some point in the new year. Just go ahead and start it when you want to do it. So I rarely say them. But in this year, I want to be my best self, my total best self. So that includes spiritually, physically, emotionally, just focusing. With everything going on right now, that's my focus, being my best self. Because if I'm not my best self, then I can't be my best for my husband, for my children, for family, for anybody else that's around me. So my main focus is to be my best self. And then when I can be my best self, then I can continue to give to others and love others.
Wonderful. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What does being your best self look like to you for next year, for 2022, this year? I have to keep it all straight. But what does it look like to you?
Eating right, working out, doing the things that make me happy and taking time for myself so that when it's time to give to my husband, to my children, to the different organizations and just the community itself, then I'm my best self to be able to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Okay, we put you on the hot seat there. And, of course, Katrina. Katrina, what would you like to tell everybody? Do you, well, first of all, again, do you make resolutions also?
I mean, I used to. I stopped because I don't hold up to them. So I just.
Who does? But go ahead. But you
so I just tend to just go as self. I just always like need to work on my strength. Stronger, grow faith, stronger in the Lord. And basically like what Nicole said, because if I don't have self-love, how would I be able to love and put it all into anyone else who needs it?
Exactly. You know? Well, that is well said to me. Did you have anything else you want to add to that?
And the other one is I want to make sure I've done at least cleared off at least 10 things on my vision board by 6 months.
Oh, hold on. Well, that
also.
Okay. Well, that's what we're talking about. Okay. Well, then you'll have to give us a couple of those items on your vision board when you're ready to share. We're going to have you tell us right here on Vet Talk Radio Show, and we're going to check on you on those, okay?
Sure will.
All right.
All right.
I think that's a fair thing. We are back live. I want to say thank you so much to Michael Hopkins. Michael, thank you so much. And to Nur Jahan and Nicole and Katrina, to the entire crew. Great broadcast today. Great broadcast. All right. So just nice things. And we're looking forward to a wonderful new year with the entire Vet Talk family. So, Michael, next week on the 11th, we'll have some more wonderful claims talk, and I'm sure, as well as just pay attention to Dr. Martin Luther King. I know you want to do something special about that as well coming up in honor of his holiday. So hello, team. Thank you so much. Great job. Did you all enjoy it?
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
oh, it was great.
It was a great show.
Very informative.
Awesome. All right. And Katrina, you enjoyed it as well. Katrina, did you have fun with
us? Yes.
Did you like it? Good. All right. Well, Michael's Angels, we've got big news for you next week and the following week as well. I have some things that I'm going to be sharing on air. I want to thank all of your fans everywhere. They are wonderful. The Vet Talk Radio Show fans are amazing. And it's time that we do some more shows and get folks on. And we're going to have another hour show very soon. We'll be making that announcement. We're sending everybody to HAIRadio.com, and we'll have that updated later on today. Vet Talk Radio, we'll have it, the page updated, the fan page at HAIRadio.com, as you guys know. All right, let me go on and get the outro on for Vet Talk. We'll see you guys next week. Good job.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.